Let's start with prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for your deep, deep love for us. Thank you that every time we open your word, you are speaking to us, showing us who you are, communicating what you've done, how we are to respond to you. So, Father, we trust you to speak to us as we open your word this morning. We thank you that you will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, ladies. My name is Carmen, like Miss Claire said, and I am so glad to be able to share with you all this morning. I just want to say again how thankful we are for each one of you that you're here. I don't know all of you by name, but each one of you are so precious to us. We've prayed for you, and we're so glad that you're able to come today and worship with us. You were made for him. This morning, I would love to tell you a story about a young woman around your age who also was made for him. It took her a while to see that, though. But God, in his great love, pursued her. She was a young woman who really only wanted to be loved and accepted. She longed to be noticed, to be known. She lived in a culture with pressures all around her, from outside and pressure she put on herself to be something important, someone worthy of love and acceptance. And of course, she wanted to meet those expectations, what she thought all her life was most important. She tried and she tried and she tried to earn the love she was so desperate for, but she continually found herself falling short, feeling empty. No matter what she did, it was just not enough. She longed for something, something more, satisfaction, but she hadn't found it yet. Is this a story that sounds familiar to you? Can you put yourself in her shoes? It sounds familiar to me. It sounds like my story, and maybe it sounds like yours too. I think this is a story that many of us can identify with, the desire for something more, the desire to be satisfied. Ladies, today I would love to share with you the story of Leah, the story of a faithful, loving God who pursues his people, the story of how he satisfies longing souls with himself. Just like Miss Marie just shared, he made us for more, and it is only found in having a relationship with him. So who knows who Leah is? Who's heard of Leah before? Leah from the Bible. Can anyone tell me who she is? Any idea? Yeah, Jacob's first wife. Good job. Rachel's sister as well. And she kind of has a messy story, but God delights to turn our messy stories into beautiful ones where he gets all the glory. So I'm going to give some background to the story before we dive into our passage. Jacob, Leah's husband, is Isaac's son, Abraham's grandson. I don't know if you guys remember, but he's the one who stole his brother's inheritance. And he is sent to his uncle's land to find a wife. And there are two sisters there, Leah and Rachel. Genesis 29:16-17 says, "Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance." People aren't totally sure what this means, but most seem to think that it means that Rachel was beautiful and Leah was not. Maybe she had a problem with her eyes, we don't know. But Jacob chooses Rachel, and he is willing to work for her for 7 years in order to marry her, but he is tricked into marrying Leah instead. We don't know how this happened, nor if Leah was a part of it, or if she just went along with it because her father told her to, because in that culture, especially, women just did as they were told. So Jacob thinks he married Rachel, but soon he realizes it was Leah he married instead, and obviously he's not happy. But he soon learns he can still marry Rachel as long as he works another 7 years for her. So we read in verse 30 that indeed he loved Rachel more than Leah, and he served with Laban for another 7 years. Now Leah was very likely around your age. Ladies got married in the Jewish culture much younger back then, around 13 or 14. Maybe we can't relate to Leah's particular circumstance, but the Lord has recorded her life and her struggles for us in his word, so we can learn from them. I know, pretty young, right? Yeah. So the word of God is powerful, and every time we open it, he is speaking to us. Every verse, every story is important because it is his word. Miss Sarah Beth is going to share with us even more about that in the next session. So So there's a beautiful message for us in this passage, and in it we get to see the Lord's heart for her and for us. What he does for Leah in her search for something more is the same thing he does for us. He knows each of our struggles, our idols, things we have placed before God, where we are seeking our satisfaction, and he meets us right there to bring us to himself. Now, this is where we will begin to read our passage. Turn with me to Genesis 29, 31 to 35. Now the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, and he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Leah conceived and bore a son and named him Reuben, for she said, "Because the Lord has seen my affliction, surely now my husband will love me." Then she conceived again and bore a son and said, "Because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also." So she named him Simeon. Keep asking. Anybody else speaking? Oh, great.
Oh, wonderful.
Thank you. So she named him Simeon. Verse 34, she conceived again and bore a son and said, "Now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons." Therefore he was named Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, "This time I will praise the Lord." Therefore she named him Judah. Then she stopped bearing. Now the Lord saw. All throughout the Bible, the Lord is described with different names that show the many different aspects of his character. This name for God is Lord, or Yahweh. This is the covenant-keeping God. If you look in your Bible, Lord is spelled with all capital letters. This is God's personal name, and it assures God's presence with his people. He is the eternal God with no beginning and no end, the one who was and is and always will be. He never changes. He is the one true God, the highest and most beautiful, and yet he delights to have a relationship with his people. The Lord is always faithful to his people and to his promises. So the Lord, the one who is near and present with his people, sees Leah right where she is. He is not distant. He wants a relationship. He was very aware of Leah and her pain. He saw that she was in love, that she was miserable, and what did he do? Did he ignore her when she cried out to him or answer her? In his kindness, he answered her. Even though Leah is looking to find her love and acceptance from someone other than the Lord comes out of his great care to answer her. Leah is not seeking the Lord right now. She wants Jacob's love more than anything else. "Surely now my husband will love me," she says. She was hungry for love. The name Reuben means behold or look, a son. In that culture, having sons was very important, so it makes sense that Leah was so happy. It's almost as if Leah was saying, "Look, I've done it. I have given Jacob a son. I have earned his love. Now I will finally get what I need." In the middle of Leah's plans to get Jacob's love, what she thinks she needs, the Lord is right there in his love and care. Leah doesn't realize it yet, but what she's always longed for, to be noticed, loved, and accepted, she has already in the Lord. She doesn't see it yet, but praise God, he never gives up on us. Now, there was nothing wrong with Leah wanting Jacob's love. He was her husband. He should have loved her. But Leah wanted Jacob's love more than she wanted anything else, more than she wanted God. She wanted him to be the one to fill that place in her heart that only God can fill. I want us to look at Psalm 139. If you would all turn there with me. This is such a powerful passage that shows us how much God cares for us. David is speaking to God in this passage. He is aware that God is a God of relationship who knows all about us, all our thoughts, words, deeds. He knows all the hidden things. He saw Leah. He was so aware of her pain and her desire for Jacob's love. He knew her and he knows us. So I'm going to read verses 1 to 6 in Psalm 139. "Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain it. After reading this, it is no surprise that the Lord saw Leah's pain and misery. Look at the way the Lord describes, David describes the Lord's involvement in our lives. Because just as he was involved in David and Leah's lives, he is involved in ours. Let's think about this. He has searched and known you. He knows all of your ways. When you sit down, when you rise up, even before you're going to speak, he already knows what you're going to say. All of your hopes, thoughts, everything. He not only knows your thoughts, but the reasons why you think them. Ladies, the Lord knows you and is fully involved in your life. You are known completely and so unbelievably cared for. Does this passage sound like a God who is distant or uncaring, who only thinks about us sometimes? No, this sounds like a God who greatly loves us and cares about every detail of our lives. Verse 3 says he is acquainted with all of our ways, and Miss Sarah Beth is going to talk about this verse even more in the next session. Have you thought about this before, what David is saying in this passage? Every time you go to bed and sleep, he knows. When you sit down and read a book, he knows. When you get up to get ready in the morning, he knows. When you are thinking about something to say, he knows. No matter what you're doing, he is mindful of you. How precious we must be to him to be so aware of us. And not only aware of us, but caring so greatly for us. So earlier we talked about the Lord's personal name, Yahweh. Every time Leah was talking about God, she used this name. She knew about the one she was talking to, the God who made us for a relationship with him. And yet, what did he really mean to her? Has she fully put her hope or trust in him? He is the one she cries out to for what she wants, but not the one she longs for. She still longs for Jacob's love more than anything else. And we can do the same thing, right? Maybe we've grown up in the church and we know a lot about God. You may know different names of God and about his character, but do you have a relationship with him? Do you love him? Who is he to us? Is he just a name to us, or is he our God? Is he the one we love and long to know more and more? Or is God just someone we go to when we want something? Is he enough for us? There's nothing wrong with wanting to have great friends and to enjoy fun clothes and posting on Instagram, but do you want that more than you want the Lord? Are you more concerned with getting likes on your new post than you are with loving God? Let's go back to our passage in Genesis. We'll read 33 through 35, or 34. Then she conceived again and bore a son and said, "Because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also." So she named him Simeon. She conceived again and bore a son and said, "Now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore he was named Levi." Leah tries 2 more times, obviously praying to the Lord for more sons, hoping she will get what she longs for, Jacob's love. But thankfully, the Lord is very patient with Leah and with us. The Lord is kind to her, and she does see that. In verse 33, she says again that the Lord is aware that she is unloved, that he has probably heard her cries for his help, so he's given her another son. But with Levi, she doesn't even mention the Lord. This time she is so confident she's going to get what she wants, she doesn't even consider God. She thinks she has finally earned Jacob's love with her son Levi, and Jacob will now become attached to her. So the Lord is the one answering her prayer, she doesn't even acknowledge him. What Leah doesn't know is that the Lord has a plan to answer her ultimate prayer, for love and for satisfaction with himself. He is going to meet her in a way that only he can. Leah was desperate for Jacob to see her, to love her, to become attached to her. But the whole time, she already had that in the Lord. So what are you searching for? Do you find yourself looking to social media for attention, for acceptance? Do you want to be noticed and liked by certain people? Do you think if you had a certain number of friends or a certain kind of clothes to wear, you would be happy? Girls, there is only one who gives true happiness, true joy, and like Leah, he offers it to you, but only in a relationship with him. Now, who knows the insecurities Leah must have dealt with growing up? Maybe she was compared to her sister Rachel. Maybe she never felt like she was good enough, pretty enough. Who knows? Maybe she felt like she had to earn the love she was given. Maybe you felt like that too. And no matter her circumstances or what others thought, even what she thought of herself, she was loved by God. The Lord cared for her greatly, and in his kindness revealed himself to her as her God. God made her specifically to have a relationship with him, and he has done the same for you. Let's read more of Psalm 139. Sorry to flip back to the other passage. We're going to read verses 13 to 17 this time. Verses 13 to 17 make his unique design of each of us very clear. Again, this is David speaking to the Lord, but everything he says is also true of us. What David is saying the Lord did for him, the Lord has done for us. So starting in verse 13, "For you formed my inward parts. You wove or knit me together in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious are also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I could count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you." Wow. Isn't that amazing? You were designed. Each of you, each of us were specifically and uniquely made by him and for him. He knit you together in your mother's womb. Verse 15 says that we were intricately woven, and verse 13 says that we were knit together. These are terms that describe detailed handiwork. How many of you have ever crocheted or sewn or knit something? Yeah, me too. And this takes time, right? And careful planning, deliberate actions. You think about what you're going to make, how you want it to look. So if I had a thing of yarn, pretend this is yarn, it's not going to be. So if I had a thing of yarn, and I just balled it up in a big ball, and I said, "Hey, look what I made." What would you think? Didn't take much time, right? Thing I just kind of thought about last minute. Or if I showed you something that was actually woven together, it shows the careful planning and detail in it, right? A little different. When he made you purposefully, intricately, just as you are. And put these verses in his word so that we would know that. He made you, you, for his glory. You weren't just thrown together like that yarn I just showed you. You were formed. You were creatively and lovingly made. God, the creator, the designer, the original true artist, he knew what he was doing when he made you. You were lovingly formed and knit together for his glory. And he made me a Carmen, and he made you a you on purpose to know him and love him and bring him glory, just like Miss Marie shared. Now, verse 16 says, "Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." He formed and knows all your days. Stop and think about that. Before you were growing in your mother's womb, he'd already formed and known every single one of your days of your life. Remember what David said when he thought about the Lord's knowledge of him, when he saw that the Lord knew him and all his thoughts, all his words, everything. He was overwhelmed. In Psalm 139:6, David says, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. It's too much to take in. I can't understand it. It is too wonderful, too amazing." And then in verse 14, David says, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." Now, fearfully means to be in awe of. We should be in awe, thinking of the fact that we were specifically made by God and with such detail. Have you thought about how detailed our bodies are and the way they function? It is truly amazing. Can everyone turn your hands over and look at your fingerprints? He has given each one of us detailed fingerprints. I don't think about fingerprints very much. I don't know if you do. But each one of us has different fingerprints that were formed for our body that nobody else has. And of the 10 that we have, each one of them is different from the other. Isn't that amazing? But this is just a small reminder of how the Lord designed every single part of us. Ladies, we are fearfully made. David is in awe, amazed when he thinks of how God made us, and I hope that we are too. And then when David says we are wonderfully made, wonderfully means surpassing, extraordinary, and even to be difficult to understand. So we have been wonderfully, extraordinarily made. This is no small thing. The creator of the universe, the one who holds the world in his hand, who gives us every breath, who has numbered the stars and called them by name, the one who makes the beautiful sunrises and the sunsets, has made you in a wonderful, extraordinary way. We can't even understand it, but it's true. It's like David is saying, wow, this is unbelievable. He cares for me. And it is the same for you, ladies, the same for all of us in this room. So don't compare yourself to anyone else around you. He has made you, you. The way you are, in the place you are, and the time you are to know him. He made you in his image to reflect him and bring him glory. In verse 17 and 18, David says, how precious are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. The Lord's thoughts are precious to David. So where are you today? Do you believe that you are specifically and uniquely made by God for his glory? Do you believe he intricately wove you together in his image to be you? Do you struggle to believe that, or are God's thoughts about you precious? Remember when we said God is the creator, the original and best artist and designer? He designed us, each one of us, with care. There is no one with more skill, no one wiser than God. He knows what he's doing. And he made you the way you are, skin, hair, eye color, body type, everything with a purpose and for his glory. Do you see your body as being a specific design by God, the amazing artist? Instead of saying what we think should be different or who we would like to be, let's praise God that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. He hasn't made you to be anyone else but you. This is where we can pray and ask the Lord to help us see ourselves as he sees us. Lord, help me to believe what you say about me, to know and believe that you designed me and I am truly fearfully and wonderfully made. I don't want to compare myself to anyone else. Ask him to totally change your thinking so you can say with David, how precious are your thoughts to me, O God. And Lord, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. My soul knows it very well. They are too wonderful. I can't even understand it. But do you believe it? Ask him to see yourself as he sees you. So ladies, again, don't compare yourself to your friends or to the people around you. Remember that you were formed by God just the way you are. His works are wonderful. And the same goes for the people around you. Just as he made you, you, and formed you the way that he formed you, he made them as well. Each one of them precious and uniquely made. So ask the Lord to see them as he sees them as well. We're going to flip again, so sorry, back to our passage in Genesis 29. Verse 35 says, and she conceived again and bore a son and said, this time I will praise the Lord. Therefore, she named him Judah. Finally, praise. Both David and Leah are praising the Lord. Whenever the Lord reveals something about himself, when he shows us what he's like and what he's done, it leads us to praise him. David and Leah both see that the Lord is worthy of praise. David is in awe, and Leah is content. Just as we read before, David says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. My soul knows it very well. David is sure. There is no doubt in his mind, in his very soul. He knows it, and it leads him to praise the Lord. David is confident in the Lord and that he has been made for his glory. He is in awe. And Leah says, and now I will praise the Lord. Now, finally, she has come to understand that her hope can't be in anything but the Lord. No one else can fill the hole only God was meant to fill. No one else can love her perfectly. But the Lord has shown her who he is to her specifically and what he has done for her. and it causes her to praise him. Now, finally, she says, I will praise the Lord. The Lord allowed Leah to have each of her sons, to have this painful struggle for Jacob's love, so she could finally see that no matter what she did, no matter how hard she tried, it would never be enough. All that she'd been hoping for, all that she wanted from Jacob, his love, his acceptance, she had in the Lord, her covenant-keeping God the whole time. Leah knew she was empty. That's why she was so desperate. She knew she was missing something, but that something was not to be found in Jacob. God made her to find her satisfaction in him alone. Everything else was empty in comparison. Good things for her to enjoy. Wonderful gifts from the Lord, but not the best. The best thing was always knowing the Lord. It took her some time to see it, but he is such a patient God who pursues us. And it is the same for us. There is nothing better than having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is what we were made for. This is not the end of Leah's story, as wonderful as it is. It only gets better. This is an amazing redemption story where God takes the messiness, the pain, and makes it beautiful. God takes the unloved one and redeems her, sets her free to finally enjoy him like she was always meant to. Leah's son, Judah, means praise, and it is with him, her fourth son, that she finally comes to understand that nothing, not Jacob or anything else she will hope in, is better than knowing the Lord. It is through this son, Judah, that the Lord finally draws her heart completely to him. So Leah starts out the unwanted and unloved one, but the Lord turns her story completely around. For Jesus is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He was a descendant of Judah, this son, and therefore a descendant of Leah. Look how the Lord used Leah's story. Leah is no longer defined by what she was, unloved, unwanted. She is loved, cared for, a unique part of God's plan. All along, the Lord had a special plan for her. Just like David says in Psalm 139, the Lord had already formed all of Leah's days. He had already planned for her to be Jesus' very, very great, 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 great grandmother. A lot of greats there. In the middle of her pain and feeling unloved, she was precious to him the whole time. He used her to bring about the salvation of the whole world. And this was always his plan for her. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Maybe you feel like Leah, unloved, overlooked, not special, but I want you to know that that is not true. God has gone to great lengths to show you and us just how precious we are to him. Just as he reached out to Leah, allowing her to know him and be a part of his wonderful plan of salvation, he reaches out to us and offers us a relationship with him to be a part of his family. And he gives us the desire and ability to be a part of his plan by sharing the gospel with the people he places around us. He has a wonderful plan for all those who would know him, greater than anything we could ever imagine or hope for. Do you believe that? Leah couldn't see the Lord's plan for her. She couldn't see all her days. She couldn't see very much past wanting Jacob's love. But the Lord pursued her and offered her a life of true joy in relationship with him. Jesus offers us true life. He alone is the source of true joy, peace, delight, satisfaction. All throughout his word, he describes how wonderful it is to belong to him. Just like Miss Marie said, Psalm 16:11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Pleasures forever. This is just a taste of the wonderful, abundant life we have in relationship with him. And yet, a relationship with the Lord is only offered to those who would surrender their lives to Jesus Christ and take him as their Lord and Savior. Only to those who will turn from their sin and believe in Jesus Christ. So, do you truly know him? Have you chosen Christ as not only your Lord and Savior, but your love? I hope you have. And if any of you would like to hear more about what it means to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we would love to talk with you after this. Psalm 16:11 is true for any who would come to him. This is what he offers to those that are fully his. Not just forgiveness of sins, but a relationship with him that satisfies completely. So do you know the God who sees you and knows you? Are you in awe when you think of how he made you, you? Do you believe that you are fearfully and wonderfully made for his glory? Do you have a relationship with him? And I'll leave you with this verse. John 17:3 says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." Eternal life, true life, is found in knowing the Lord. He knows you, but do you know him? He offers a relationship to any who would come today. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you. You offer true life to us. We thank you that we can taste and see that you are good today. We pray that you would use your word in our hearts and that we would come away loving you more and more and more. I trust you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.